The topic of the meeting is if you want what we have, but of course, whatever's in your heart, you may share, okay?
Okay. Good morning, family. My name is Martin. I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. First things first, I'd like to thank my higher power, whom I choose to call God, for allowing me to be here. For that, I am grateful. It is an honor and a privilege to be standing here in Hawaii and not drunk. You know, I'm grateful for this fellowship. My home group is the Spring Creek Group of Brooklyn, New York. My sobriety date is June 10th, 1988. You know, it is truly only through the grace of God to be here and a day at a time not have drank for 26 years. I couldn't go through 26 minutes without the drink. I'm one of those alcoholics who got the shakes, had seizures, DTs, blackouts, in and out of detox, in and out of rehabs over and over. Did not surrender, you know, and literally got to the point where, you know, I got the shakes so bad till I was at the point where I was about to start getting seizures. You know, used many other substances, but alcohol was the primary one that, you know, really, really whipped up my behind. You know, in the process of this program, I did also go to treatment. I became a treatment guru, though. You know, my problem was not alcoholism, you know, I had to make money while I was in treatment. I went to treatment in Brooklyn, you know, and actually, I didn't focus on treatment. I focused on everything else, you know. After all the pain, the insanity, the homelessness, being greasy and grimy as a pork chop in the street, when I sat in treatment, I refused to say I was an alcoholic, you know, until I started to begin to identify with this program. I had already been in church, so I believed in God, but the problem with that me and the preacher's son, we robbed the tithes in the church, and that money when they collected on Sundays was our drinking money, you know. And I eventually got through the fact that my steps helped me get past that. I did not remember the Lord's Prayer. I did not remember the Our Father's Prayer when I first came to this program. I didn't even remember my birth date, you know, so it was a lot of insanity over and over. But through the use of a sponsor, but I finally got a male sponsor because my first sponsor was a female, and that didn't work out too well, you know. She stayed sober, and I went back out, you know. But the program, what really helped me, and I realized after I started to identify and not compare and get into service, the third tradition, I was sitting in a meeting in Brooklyn one night, and it made sense. The only requirement for membership was a desire to stop drinking. I didn't have to be slick. I didn't have to compare to your story. I did not have to worry about whether or not I had more time than you. I didn't have to worry about anything else. I had a desire to stop, you know, because I was hurting every time I drank. And I kept going back to the same insanity. You know, I got into the rooms, got active, and began to practice these principles to the best of my ability. For me, I went on retreats. Retreats also helped me. But the most important thing was service and giving back. One of the things that said, how did our experience help others, you know, and if you want what we had, they told me I had to be honest about my drinking. I had to make meetings and keep the focus on myself. When I first came around in New York, you had to sit down the first 90 days in the meetings and you couldn't say anything. They told me to sit down and shut up. And if you didn't like it being here, if you thought you knew something, then you was definitely not here for the right reasons. You know, I had to get here for myself, not for family. You know, as I kept coming, I began to see the benefits of recovery. Somewhere in there, I realized that I wasn't drinking and I started to enjoy recovery. But the work really began after I put down the drink, and that's where I was really grateful. Becoming a GSR, getting involved in service, and meeting people that I normally would not have met or mixed with. You know, so a day at a time, I am grateful for this program. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin. And next, thank you, Martin. Next, we have Rosemary Redwood. And Rosemary's got 55 years. God bless her.
I'm Rosemary from Brentwood City, California. July 13th, 1959 is my sobriety date. And 13 is my lucky number. My home group, more or less, is St. Pius. I go there quite often to the Sunday night meeting, but I go to the Saturday meeting after I go to my book club first, and then I get the tail end of that. I do a lot of things. I'm very grateful. I have a spiritual director, which I've had for the last 14 years, and God is my co-pilot in all of this. I am just very grateful. I'm standing up today. I use a cane just in case I fall down. And the gifts I have got through a few accidents, that I was evaluated by Stanford University. I'm not clumsy. They were mishaps when I fell. I wasn't drinking, but I found something out this year that really surprised me. In most of my life, I'm 88, I have been very active. And lately, through these years, whatever, things have happened, those falls and whatnot. One, I broke my knee in two places, and the other, both of them I hit my head. And the other, I broke my wrist. But in these little challenges, I've learned an awful lot and how important exercise is, no matter what age you are. But the older you get, the more exercises you need. And the older you get in AA, the more you realize it's today, it's right now, it's got nothing to do with the years. Remember, never, never envy anybody's sobriety but your own. Your own is a precious gift in your heart. And you'll know what it is. Because some of the 24 hours as you work with different people, you realize what a gift their 24 hours is to yours, no matter what you got. There'll be that moment of grace that God speaks through him. But he speaks in all rooms. I believe in AA. I go to more meetings now than I ever went, but I also do a lot of other things. I work in the hospital, which is really a gift. And along the way, I learned one other thing that at one of my first meetings was, you might be the only page of the big book somebody ever sees or witnesses. And that is not necessarily at an AA meeting telling all of us how great you are or how wonderful it's working. It's just being you, whoever you are, whatever you need to say this time and whatever happens in your life. And I pray to God that, to not to worry about what I say at a meeting, because really, you really don't care. But there might be something there that hits you that reminds you of something in your past. And that's the gift of AA, the sharing that we get to go out and work in our world. I belong to a lot of book clubs, and most of them all around God, as I understand him, and has made a lot of different lights. One recently my son sent me was about someone who died and came back. And her message was, she had something, 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 but it was not for organized religion, but that to come back, she was dying of cancer, and she came back, and you want to be just who you are right now and learn to love yourself as you are. With God's help, you are just what you're supposed to be. And that is the main gift. Okay. Thank you.
Bill?
Where's Bill? Can you get up there?
Hey.
Okay, I just checking. Well, we've got a... Well, it looks like that's what's happening. So, here's roll with the punches.
Thanks a lot. Okay. The reason I wanted to go up there is they got a ramp.
I know, I didn't see that.
I know. That's okay. My name's Ev, and I'm a recovered alcoholic. When I was 20 years old, I went into the Navy, and I got on this train, and they were sending me to boot camp down in San Diego. And I'd never had a drink in my life, and there was a bunch of sailors on there that were drinking beer, and they convinced me that I should try a beer. And I tried that beer, and it tasted horrible. And then, from then on, I started drinking more of that beer till we got into San Francisco. And they said, come on with us. We're going to have a party. And I said, I can't go with you. I don't have any money. And they said, oh, we got lots of money. We're just getting back from overseas. So that was my first walking around blackout, drunken time in San Francisco. And so anyhow, after doing that, they poured me on the train the next day, and I went down to San Diego. Well, for about 8 years when I was in the Navy all over the Far East, I was a periodic drunk. I didn't drink every day, and I didn't get drunk every time I drank. But when I was overseas, I'd go on a party, and then I wouldn't drink for maybe 2 or 3 months. And then I'd go on another party. Okay. I got out of the Navy, and I got this fine job that had a nice credit card called Select. And they gave it to me, and they said, you can spend all you want to on this as long as you bring in lots of business. And considering I was a good salesman, I said, that's great. So then I started wining and dining my customers and getting them to sign big contracts. And so anyhow, I did that for a total of 8 years, and then I decided, since my neighbor was 5 years on the program, and he says, if you don't do something about your drinking, your wife's going to leave you. You're going to have to pay alimony and child support for 3 children the rest of your life. And I said, oh, I don't want to do that. So my sponsor told me, if you go to meetings for 6 months and you don't drink in between, I'll convince your wife that you're really not an alcoholic. And I said, good. So I went to these meetings, and they were all old. You know, they were 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. And I was 28, and I didn't want to stop drinking, and I wanted to chase the girls and do all those things that sailors do. So anyhow, it was exciting. So I stopped drinking for 6 months. Then I decided to go out, and so I went out for another year and a half. Said, I'm really not an alcoholic. One day I was driving home from work, and this little thought went into my head. Not a vision, anything like that, just a little thought. And it says, Ev, you don't have to drink anymore if you don't want to. That is and was March 8th, 1966. And I haven't had a mind-altering drink or drug since that time. So today I've got 48 years, 7 months, and 23 days sobriety.
Of Bill A. with 32 years. My name's Bill. I'm an alcoholic.
My sobriety date is May 28, 82. You know, the topic is, do we want what you have? And, you know, I kind of thought before I ever came to Alcoholics Anonymous, it was a bunch of old gray people, and I really didn't want that. And, you know, that were pretty much over their life. And I remember, that was the way I thought of AA, until I went to my first meeting, about 3 years before I got sober. And the first meeting I went to, you know, my wife was on my case, other people were on my case. And I went to this meeting, and it was a YWCA in Manhattan, in Torrance. And I was a pretty happening guy at the time, wearing a three-piece suit, and you know, I had a pretty hot shot job, and I went in there, and I had a wife and a kid and nice house, nice cars. And I went into this meeting, and they were all really messed up people. And I, you know, they told these really terrible stories about themselves, living under bridges and things like that. And I was like, these people are whacked, man. And I left the meeting. I went home, and I told my wife, it's really a good thing they have a place for those kind of people. And 3 years later, I showed up in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I've been here ever since. That was, May 28, 82. And I didn't get my sponsor right away. And I wasn't real exactly thrilled about being here. And I saw a lot of people that didn't want what they had. And I kept coming back. I really had this desire not to drink anymore, and I wanted to change my life. And I went to meetings, my first response to everybody telling you got to read the book, I went, well, okay, I'll read the book. And so I went through it and I sped read it. I went through it speed reading. And I went, and I didn't retain nothing, didn't care about understanding anything. I just went, yeah, I read the book. You know, when somebody would question me about it. And so, as time, and I'll wrap this up here momentarily. What really got me was I was a year and a half sober, and I went to a meeting. I was in my full yuppie regalia, you know, my Ivy League clothes and nice shoes, what are they called, wingtip shoes. And I went to this meeting, and I was all dressed up, and I saw this big, heavy guy with a tattoo on his arm, and he got in the meeting with khaki pants on, and he had Sluggle tattooed on his arm, and was misspelled. And I went, whoa, man, we got to get rid of the ex-con biker people out of AA. You know? And he shared. And I remember saying inside myself, oh, man, I got to listen to this guy's dribble. And when he got done sharing, what I had heard sounded like an invitation to join the Knights of the Round Table. And it hit me right between my eye and all the way into my heart. And I understood he was talking about a life that was based on principles that were real, that I kind of half-assed dealt with, but that he was living a life that was real about those principles. And I heard the truth, and I heard the message from his heart to my heart. And I went up to him afterwards, and I asked him, and also I realized, I mean, I didn't realize all this, you know, consciously at the time, but I, you know, it changed. And I went up to him, and I asked him to be my sponsor. And, he looked at me, and I thought I was such a really bitchin' guy. And he looked right through me, and he said, and he looked at me, and kind of like, yeah? And he goes, are you willing to go to any lengths to get sober? And once again, I felt like somebody just slapped me across the face with gloves like they do a Knights of the Round Table. And I said, yes! I can handle anything! And I wanted, and the main thing is that I wanted what he had. Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful. I'm going to call another five people to go to this table, If we can do that, and is it Lisa? Are you there? Lisa, 25 years, birthday girl. Okay. John Slater, 27 years. All right, John. The next one I can't do. At 42 years, I think it's Billing. What's your first name, my friend?
Dick.
All right, thank you. And then Roland S. Okay, Roland S. Moving to the front. And then one more, Laura. Laura G. Laura G. She's the timer lady, so you better transfer that over. Okay, John Mason with 32 years. John M.
I'm a recovered alcoholic. My name is John Mason. And I'm blessed to be here. This is the first convention. I've been coming to this convention since 1983. My home group is the Hang Loose group in Kaneohe. And the last 25 years I've been coming with my wife. And she just passed away in April. She had 40 years in July. And I knew when I came here this weekend there'd be some people from the mainland that probably hadn't heard. And I ran into my friend Dick B. a little while ago in the hospitality room. And he came up and gave me a hug and he says, "Okay, where is she?" Because they would always hook up at this convention. And I said, "She's up there watching us." And she is. But enough about her. We're here to talk about me. I got sober on the 21st of October, 1982. And I have not had a bad day in my life since then. A lot of my sharing lately has been, and when they ask me to throw out a topic, it's that my topic is always, no matter what, we don't drink. We don't use, no matter what. When I got here, I cared less about anybody. I could care less if anybody in my life died. The thing I cared about, and was which I didn't like, was there was people in my life that were still living. I wish they would get out of my life. And because of this program, I was able to be, and I hated it, I was quote-unquote a primary caregiver. Every time I went to a medical appointment with my wife, "Oh, you're the primary caregiver." "No, I'm a husband doing what a husband's supposed to do." "You're the primary caregiver." Whatever. This program has taught me a lot. There's many people that have passed this road before me that I love dearly. There's many people in this room that I love dearly. I'm originally from Staten Island, New York, so to hear that Brooklyn accent out here this morning made me feel at home. I've been here in Hawaii since 1970. I got here, I was one of those sailors back in 1970, and when I got here and got out, I stayed here. And a little over a year ago, March of 2013, I retired from working with the Army for 38 years. Thanks to this program. And that's why when my wife passed, I was able to get it back into doing some things that I hadn't done in a long time. I go to a lot of meetings. I go to 2, 3, 4 meetings a day sometimes because I'm retarded. I can do that. I mean retired. I can do that. Some people think I'm retarded too, but that's all right. That's their problem. They can pray for me for doing it. But But my life is full with this program. I was taught to love the drunk. I was taught to pick up the drunk in their original condition. And if they have to puke in the back seat of my nice clean car, go ahead, we'll clean it up later. And that's what I love. I love the drunk. And if I ever get to the point where I don't love the drunk, then it's time for me to go. All the guys that I sponsor, I tell them, if I ever get to the point where I can't make it to a meeting, your ass better come and pick me up and take me to a meeting. Because this is where I need to be. I love you all. Aloha, and thank you for letting me share.
Lisa, 25 years.
I'm Lisa, I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is October 31st, 1989. Yes, it's true. And my home group is the Open Splinter Group in Denver, Colorado. Wow. I'm incredibly humbled to be standing here with all of you guys. Seriously. I actually moved to Punalu 26 and a half years ago trying to get my life together from Los Angeles, and I got as far as the airport. And I met some dude who looked like Jesus who carried my stuff and bought me alcohol and sat next to me on the plane. And it's the last thing I remember for a year. And then I moved back to L.A. and got sober. I got sober at 23. I was really lucky. My first meeting was in 1988 in April. I worked in a restaurant, and I'd steal alcohol and from the bar, and I'd use other mind-altering substances in the bathroom, and this really hot guy named Al R. Came up to me one day, and he's like, "You don't have to live this way if you don't want to ever again." And I thought, yeah, whatever. And he said, "You're going to come to Alcoholics Anonymous with me tonight." And I swear to God, I thought it was a bar. And I thought it was a date. So, true story, swear to God. If any of you know Alan Randolph from Los Angeles, you can ask him. So I showed up, you know, all, you know, I'd like to think I was all prettied up. I'm pretty sure I was all flooded up, whatever. And he brought eight women with him, and I was really disappointed. And so we went to this place called the Valley Club, and I thought it was a bar. And it was an AA club in the San Fernando Valley. And I was really mad. But I remember it was a candlelight meeting on a Sunday night, and people were sharing, and I had no idea. You know, I couldn't tell you. And they had the plaques on the wall, and one of them said, "Incomprehensible demoralization. If you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, you know, blah, 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 and I'm fine." I had no idea. I couldn't get it. And little did I know that was going to change my life. And but 18 months went by, and I was drinking in my car and getting high in the bathrooms, and I didn't hear that. Somebody said it. Don't drink between the meetings. Somebody never told me that. Nobody told me that. Well, I'm sure they did, but. So on Halloween, somewhere around the 26th or 27th of October in 1989, I locked my keys in my car and thought it was a good idea to go into a bar to call somebody to come help me because, you know, there was no other payphones anywhere. And I had one drink, which turned into 4 days later. And Halloween morning, I dressed up as a nun and dragged my ass to a meeting. And I sat in the back of the room, and this woman stood up and took a four-year cake. And I couldn't tell you what she said, but she spoke right to my heart. And I wanted what she had, and I asked her to sponsor me, and I did what she told me to do, and I went to lots of meetings. I got into service work. I've always been a staunch non-smoker. She made me clean ashtrays, coffee cups, then I became the key babe, and then I was the coffee chick, and then I was the cake girl, and, you know, and here I am 25 years later. But I had to, you know, work the steps. I had to get into service. I had to do what my sponsor told me. And I'm standing here with 25 years of sobriety today. And I'm so grateful. Thank you.
John S. with 27 years.
Hey, everybody. My name is John, and I'm an alcoholic. Hi, everybody. Whenever I know I'm going to speak, I kind of chant to myself, I will be done, 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 so that I don't script what I'm about to say, because that's one of my character defects, you know, hard to imagine. Sobriety date, June the 4th of 1987. I celebrated 27 years. My first AA meeting was June the 3rd of 1987, but I was drunk, so I don't really remember a lot about it, and my first 24 hours without alcohol was on June the 4th. I have no idea what I'm supposed to say other than, you know, people talk about coming into the program and the pink cloud and how wonderful it is. That was not my experience. The first year of my sobriety was pretty miserable. I should throw in, I have a very extensive background with a specific organized religious fellowship outside of this room. And one of the things that I learned how to do there was to pray. But to me, the way I was taught, it was this big performance. It had nothing to do with connecting with anything outside of myself. It was just this performance. And so when I came into the rooms, the first thing I learned how to do was to pray. I memorized all your prayers because, you know, I know how to pray. And then at the end of the meeting, it would be like, God, grant me the serenity. And I wasn't praying to God. I was praying to you. I was trying to prove to you that I knew those words. Because it was a performance. It didn't mean anything to me. And like I said, my first year was really miserable. It's funny. I still remember a year into my sobriety, holding hands, doing the serenity prayer at the end. This little thought, and somebody said it earlier, it was this little thought that I'm not praying to you, I'm really praying to someone. That's all it was. And in that one thought, my voice softened, and I quit yelling prayers. So, some time passed, pretty much another year, and I found myself holding hands with a bunch of people, saying the serenity prayer, and this little thought crossed my mind that not only was I praying to someone, but someone was listening. That's when my sobriety started. So I can honestly say the last 25 years have been phenomenal. The first 2 years were a little rough for me, but you know what? That's the way it needed to be. That's exactly the way it needed to be. And I cannot tell you how happy I am to be on this stage today, knowing that it was my God, and I can say God today, that brought me up here. Thank you.
Okay, my friend Dick with 42 years.
My name is Dick. I am an alcoholic. This program works for me. You know, this state and this meeting has been part of my sobriety. I worked for a company for a long time, and when I was 7 months sober, I had to come over here on a business trip, and I had usually been out of town on business trips, but I always came back. I never stayed out of town more than 3 or 4 days, but this one was 2 weeks long, so I wound up here with nothing to do on that weekend, and I found an old guy at a meeting, and he was retired, and he said that on Saturday mornings they hung out on Fort DeRussy, which used to be a dump, and it's so good to see it today. It was really, you know, this was a long time ago, and it really was a dump. That beautiful lawn out there was nothing but rocks and dirt and broken bottles and crap. But he said, he talked to me about step 11 and praying. And his name was Jim McMasters, and everybody here knew him. And I found out later that, you know, everybody called him Sergeant Mac. I just knew his name was Jim McMasters. Anyway, I came back a little while later, about 6 or 8 months later, and ran into him again. And I was here for 2 more weeks. And about midweek, the second week, he said, "Well, when are you going home?" And I said, "Friday." He said, "You're not going to stay for the conference?" And I said, "Conference? What conference?" So he told me about this, and I said, "Well, why not?" This is back in the days when you could change your airplane tickets and nobody gave you a bad time. And flew back on Monday, same price I would have paid. Anyway, the point is, I stayed. And that was at the Elikai, and it was the 12th convention. We're now on the 53rd. And I'd like to tell you, I made all of them in between, but I did miss a couple of them. But I've been here for just damn near all of them. That was in 1973. In 1974, I couldn't wait to get back here for the convention. Normally, they don't have an Al-Anon speaker at the main convention, but they did that year. And little bitty gal, white-haired, didn't weigh 100 pounds soaking wet. Her name was Lois Wilson. And got to talk to her after a meeting. The conventions weren't that big in those days. They were big enough. They were bigger than any I'd ever been to. But anyway, about 7 or 8 years later, I got to read How It Works at the Saturday night meeting. And I was tongue-tied. But over the years, I sat at a Sunday morning breakfast meeting a few years later next to the guy that was going to be the speaker that morning. I'm originally born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio, and he was from Cleveland. And he started the first meeting of AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. He chaired it in Cleveland. And he was the guy from the Akron group that lived in Cleveland and heard about the new name of the new book. And he said, "We're going to call our group Alcoholics Anonymous." And the old timers in Akron said, "No, you're not." And he said, "The hell we're not. We already did." So anyway, I learned about AA traditions from him and other guys like him. We do it because we know this is what's going to be right. He knew it was going to be the right thing to do. And my first sponsor used to tell me something that I'll end with. He said, "Dick," he said, "always try to do the right thing. You're going to surprise a lot of people and astound the rest."
Roland S. with 32 years. My name is Roland. I'm an alcoholic. Malia Discussion Group is my home group. Thanks for the grace of God. I really never liked what you folks had in the beginning, especially when I walked into Malia Discussion Group. But I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I just followed a path. And they kind of told me, well, to learn more about this disease, Alcoholics Anonymous. And my path kind of took me there from the people I met in these rooms. And, you know, I didn't. Knowing and what that I was an alcoholic was one of the biggest things that ever happened to me. And it's not a miracle that I'm here. You know, and my sobriety date is September 17, 1982. And by the grace of God, not in one day at a time, the miracle is that I found a power greater than myself that keeps me sober today. I've experienced freedom from alcoholism or alcohol. But that was my life. That was my path. And people showed me how one of these meetings I went to in the beginning and had a lot of old timers in there. I mean, these guys was old. And one gentleman, a white gentleman, he kind of came up to me. He was looking at me and he kind of told me, here's a piece of paper, like you put it on your mirror. And after I grab it and I look at it, then on a piece of paper, it says, you're looking at the problem. You know, and this guy was about 175 years old. You know, and at that time, I believe, you know, and if I picked him up and threw him on the ground, he would have died right there. But that was a blessing for me, because I sooner than later found out was the truth of my life. The problem was right here. Now, and I still have that piece of paper. Now, and 32 years later, on my mirror, reminding me, I'm the problem. But I have found, not in a power greater than myself, I have found a God that have allowed me to go through all the things I went through, you know, that I never could find them before. Now then I went to church, I was in a Catholic, I went to catechism, was altar boy, had no clue who and what God was. Came walking into Alcoholics Anonymous, and I found a power is unbelievable. And a basic purpose, I came up here, I wanted to thank the people that came before me, because I was lost out there. But by watching you folks and you folks helping me through the years, now then have been blessed me, I'm up. Now then, unbelievable. So I'd like to thank you very much, each and every one of you. Thank you.
Lee L. I don't know if Lee, I forgot to cross out his name. Okay. All right, Lee. Come on down.
Hello, my name is Lee. I'm an alcoholic. The grace of God, fellowship, and sponsorship, I've been sober since the 25th of April, 1982. When I first came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I did not want what you had. I was sentenced here by the Air Force. I noticed there was a lot of Navy guys here, but I was sentenced by the Air Force. And I was told you had to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. You screwed up. Well, I had to go see the first sergeant to let him know that I had to go to an AA meeting. So I walked in, knocked on his door, and I said, Sarge, I need to talk to you. I've been in trouble. He says, okay, come on in. I says, I've been drinking a little bit too much, and I have to go to AA. He looked at me and told me, shut the door. I don't want to hear anything else. Shut the door. I said, uh-oh, here we go. And I sat down, and he says, you got a sponsor. I'm familiar with AA. I says, no, I don't. I just started. He says, well, I'm your sponsor. I've got 10 years in Alcoholics Anonymous. I said, oh, my God. He says, you're going to go to meetings. I said, which meetings? He says, every one I go to. He started taking me to meetings, and there was a lot. His buddies were a lot of old-timers. They all had 10 years or so. And my first, like this gentleman said, my first 90 days, I was told, sit down, sit on your hands, and shut up. And, you know, that group, I moved back to Hawaii after 40 years. I've been back in Hawaii for 7 years now. And that group I still consider my home group, which was the Bellevue, Foxhall group of Bellevue, Nebraska. And, I still keep in touch with them. My sponsor's still there. He's got 27 years. And, what really attracted me to AA was the way these men, reached out to me. Up until that time, I thought, no, I was the lowest thing on earth. I wanted to die. In fact, I tried to join Suicide Anonymous, but I guess God had other plans for me to come back and work in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous to help other people. I felt so low. So low. And, you know, this program helped me. I went from down there to the highest point in my life working for the U.S. government. I was one of three people that had $1 million MasterCard that I could use. And I went, how did I get from there to there? And like my sponsor said, he says, God's been watching out for you. God's been watching out in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I am so happy to be here today. I look out, and I'm glad to see there's still a lot of old-timers in this program. We need more old-timers. You know, sometimes I slack off. I don't go to all the meetings I need to. But when I go, I always look and make sure there's old-timers there because I want to hear the message. I want to hear the message. And I needed to hear the message from the old-timers. They were my guides, and they still are. And I have nothing else to say, but welcome to all the visitors, and I hope you enjoy this conference. Thank you.
Okay, mahalo. Tom C., Dave O., is Tom C., Dave O., is it Marnie for 25 years? Can't read it. Yeah, she's going to come. Is there a Marnie? Marnie L., Marnie F., 25 years? Okay, Marvin B. with 46 years. I know you're here. There we go. Okay. So, now we have Laura G. with 30 years. All right, Laura.
My name's Laura, and I'm a grateful alcoholic. Waimea Nooners is my home group, and we meet up on the North Shore at St. Peter and Paul's Church right there at Waimea, Monday through Saturday at 12 noon. So if you're visiting and you're making a trip up to the North Shore, come visit us. I'm a grateful alcoholic, and when I got here, you know, I just wanted to... I didn't necessarily want what you had because I didn't know what you had, but I know that I wanted to wake up in the morning and not feel sick, and I wanted to know how I got to where I was. And, you know, and I wanted to be a productive member of society. That's what I wanted. And, you know, by staying clean and sober, I was able to do that. And I kind of stayed, you know, real on the outskirts a little bit of Alcoholics Anonymous. I did the minimal. You know, I did what they said in the beginning. I did 90 meetings in 90 days, and I got a sponsor, and I got into service, and I attended conferences, you know, and I did a little bit. I never really gave back a whole lot. And then as the years went by, you know, I was fortunate to hit a few bottoms in sobriety and stay sober through it. And I always knew that the only reason I had a life was because of Alcoholics Anonymous. And about 4 years ago, I started to hit some more deeper bottoms, and I wanted what you had. And what I saw that, you know, people in sobriety who had some time, what they had was they had a freedom. And I didn't really have a freedom. I was like, I was clean and sober, and I wasn't getting arrested, and I wasn't falling down drunk and getting in fights and getting, you know, put in the hospital and stitched up. But You know, but I was like, I was wound up. I was just closed up inside. And I realized today that, you know, my heart had not been opened up. And so I got to a place where I was willing to go to any lengths to get what I saw people in Alcoholics Anonymous had. And those were the people that were involved. Those were the people that were giving back to Alcoholics Anonymous. Today, my primary purpose is to help another alcoholic to achieve sobriety, another alcoholic woman. I didn't think I had anything to give for a lot of years. Today, you know, the theme of this conference is our experience can benefit others. And, you know, we all have different things in our lives, and we all have things that we can share. And today, I'm grateful. Today, I know that I have a higher power that's been with me throughout these 30 years of sobriety, and I loved listening to, I'm sorry, I can't remember your name, with 55 years, but as I was celebrating my anniversary here in Hawaii, we celebrated all month, the most important thing was the day that I stood up and said, I'm an alcoholic, each day. So as I'm sitting in a room having an anniversary, it was not the 30 years so much that counted, which are really good, but it was the actual day that I'm standing here, like right now, right here, right now. And that's what I'm grateful for, that I can be present in my life today, right here, right now. And, you know, I am truly, truly grateful for my life today, and I know I owe it all to Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you.
Tom C. with 38 years. God loves the drunk, doesn't he?
How you all doing? Aloha. My name's Tom. I'm an alcoholic. And I'm honored to stand up here for AA and, you know, tell a couple minutes of my life. And, you know, I came to Alcoholics Anonymous drunk. And I went to the club that became my home group, Upper Darby, right outside Philadelphia. And the guy said to me, are you willing to go to any lengths? And, you know, I had no idea, you know, what he was talking about, to be honest with you. I was drunk. And he said, if you want what I have, and I was a wise guy, I was like, is it contagious? You know, smart guy, you know. And, you know, they took me to my first meeting. That guy mentioned about going to a step meeting. And he said, they had to take him upstairs to the step meeting. And the guy said, he ain't ready for no step meeting yet, you know. So they took me to another meeting. And it was a man and a woman up there speaking and chairing the meeting. And, you know, I don't know who said what. But after a few minutes, I realized I was in the right place. And they took me back to the clubhouse. And the meeting rooms were upstairs. And they told me to come back the next day. I was hearing, you know, get out and don't come back for the longest time. I believe alcohol, guilt, and remorse and blackouts brought me to AA. And I didn't know at the time, but I really believed that God had jumped in my life and sent me to Alcoholics Anonymous to clean me up and, you know, shake off the dirt and straighten out my whole life for me. And I don't know, you know, I had a lot of blackouts. I started drinking as a young kid. You know, about 12 years old, my father was killed in an accident, and I really hated God. I really did. And, you know, I came shortly after that to love God because of what he had given to me, this gift of sobriety. And, you know, I didn't realize it at first, but today I am just so grateful to be sober and come here to Hawaii and enjoy this conference. And I don't know, I had about 6 years, I guess, and I went through the 12 steps, and, you know, I was working the steps of my life on a daily basis, and then a guy asked me, you know, I prayed for friends, because I was a little bit miserable because of, you know, mostly old people. You know, I was like 28 years old, and, I was playing softball with a bunch of guys from AA. The guy had a colostomy bag, was the pitcher, you know, it was crazy. They're telling me, like, hey, you can really run fast. I'm like,
Yeah, well, I'm 28. But, you know, I don't know. But, you know, thank God for them guys. They saved my life. They really did. You know, they sent me the right way. You know, I didn't have a job, and I told my sponsor, I said, you know, I don't have a job. My money's funny, you know. He said, you got to go to work, Tom, you know. And they started putting me in the right direction to do things. And, you know, and as I started to say, I kind of got off track, but I got about 6 years in the program, and I started to get a little miserable because I guess I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do or something. But all of a sudden, I prayed for friends, and guys started coming out of rehabs and this and that, and coming around to the program, and they asked me to be their sponsor. And, you know, they were more help to me than I could have ever been to them. They saved my life. And for that, I am very grateful, and I'm very grateful to all you people. Thank you very much.
Okay. Dave O. with 34 years. Dave O.
My name's David. I'm an alcoholic. Born and raised in San Francisco. The first time I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, July 4th, 1976, I was in Houston, Texas. Don't know how I got there. Okay. I sponsored myself for 3.5 years. Okay. You can't sponsor yourself. Because every Friday I would go out and drink. Okay? And then I show up the rest of the week. Jail, institution, and death. February 10th, 1980. Leaving Petaluma and go back to San Francisco. In my head, I was on my way to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. I pulled in the gas station, hit a gas pump. Cost me $595, you know. I took the first 3 steps of the program Alcoholics Anonymous right then and there. I finally admitted I was an alcoholic, that my life was totally unmanageable. Came to believe that Alcoholics Anonymous could restore me to sanity. Then I made a decision to turn my life and go over to all of you folks, and I haven't found it necessary to take a drink. When I got back to San Francisco, my sponsor said, David, why don't you try something else? I said, what's that? He said, why don't you show up on a Friday night and go to the meeting? You might stay sober. You know, when I was a kid growing up, my family's from Hawaii. They drank every Friday night. I would show up at a Hawaiian bar in San Francisco. That's how far I came to Hawaii. Yeah. This is my third convention here. Today is, for me, 1,775 days on Friday night without a drink.
I have Marvin B. with 46 years.
I'm Marv. I'm an alcoholic. God bless you all. I love this meeting. Love to see the sobriety and the stories that we hear here. And I'm so grateful to be here. I came walking in the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous. All I was looking for was sobriety. We talk a lot about people having relapses. That word hadn't been invented, I don't think, yet when I got here. We did talk about people having slips or going back out. But I think I had all my relapses and slips before I walked in the door, because my last 2 years of drinking was spent quitting drinking. I had worked my way down my career like a lot of alcoholics start at the top and work their way down. And I was bartending, and I couldn't quit drinking. And I can remember in the early days when I would decide I'm going to quit drinking, I could do it for 2 weeks, during 2 weeks' time of not drinking, I could say, well, I guess I'm not an alcoholic. I'm pouring it for people. They're drinking it. I'm not drinking. I think alcoholics crave alcohol. I'm not craving it. I can't be an alcoholic. So since I'm not an alcoholic, after 2 weeks and not drinking, I'd say I'm going to have a drink tonight and go home. And, you know, there was a time I would do that. I would, with all the horsemen in China, push myself away from the bar and go home. Next day, my head would swell up, my halo would get tight, and I would get a headache because I just proved to myself that I'm not an alcoholic. So I would say, tonight I'm going to have two drinks and go home. And I might, in the early days, do it for two nights that way. But sooner or later, I couldn't stay 2 weeks without a drink. I couldn't make it anymore. And I can we talk about somebody getting 50 years, 45 years. When I walked in the doors, I had a sponsor who had 20 years in. But, oh my God, that's a long, long time. But I don't lest ever want to forget that first 24 hours was an eternity. And I walked in the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous, and my sponsor, I think there was a rephrasing of an old biblical statement, seek ye first sobriety and all these other things will be added unto you. And he said if I would stick around here, I would go places, do things, meet people and see things that I never dreamed possible in a lifetime. And that was 46 years ago. And he is so right. There were two things I was advised to do when I walked out of the doors of that place where imaginary life of one flew over the cuckoo's nest. I spent a month in there. And when I was leaving, they said, if I really and truly wanted to stay sober, I could do it with a program of recovery called Alcoholics Anonymous. And they sent me there and they said, there's two things you need to do. Number one, go to Alcoholics Anonymous. And number two, keep going, because you know the mind of an alcoholic, once we get feeling a little better, we don't quite need this so much anymore. But thank God for this and the fellowship of AA. I still need it, and I still need your love and your support and the great things that have happened to me as a result of this program. Thank you very much for letting me share.
Laura, what time does the meeting end? 1 o'clock? Moses is saying the schedule, 1 o'clock? 1 o'clock? Okay, beautiful. Okay. Is there anybody here with 25 years or more in the room that has not had a chance to share? Okay, I got 5 minutes, or maybe enough for time for two people, so I just got to go like this. My friend, come. Pardon me? Oh, there's also a long timers meeting tomorrow, which a sign-up sheet will be outside. I'm hearing something. It's at the volunteer desk. But come, my friend, come. So right now we have like 650 years of sobriety that is shared here, just to let you know. And how are you?
Good afternoon, family. My name is Ernie. I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. Grateful because I didn't start my days like I used to, which was usually praying over the toilet bowl, not knowing what end to lay on the cold floor. Couldn't wait till my stomach stopped, acting up, because I needed to continue the madness, you know. When I crawled in these rooms December 24th, 1985, this was the last house on the block. Last 2 years of my drinking, I had daily thoughts of suicide. I dreaded waking up. Had no friends, had associates. They put up with me at sometimes. And in my case, my union doctor sent me to rehab Christmas Eve. That's where I heard the message of hope. And it says in the first step, an act of providence. And my act of providence was having someone, read me the first step and identifying with every word of it. My life was unbearable. It was past the manager, it was unbearable. I wanted to die. God's gift for me means God, I'm forever thankful, was giving me this precious fellowship called Alcoholics Anonymous. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. Thank you.
This is my friend Oscar from the Big Island.
My name is Oscar. I'm an alcoholic. I'm sorry I got here too late to sign up for this thing. I was going to wait till tomorrow, but I got some sponsees back there that pushed me up on the stage. You know, they love to hear me talk almost as much as I do. I got sober on the 16th of March, 1972, which gives me, 42 years this year? And I used to be sober here. I had, my home group was TYG about 10 years ago and decided to move to the Big Island to expand a little bit, and I've been over there for 10 years. And I see people up here speaking that were nowhere near old-timers when I was here, but I thought, oh my God, look at that. The guy's still sober. Now he's an old-timer. I had, come to Alcoholics Anonymous in the Aleutian Islands in 1967. And at that time, there was only one other alcoholic on the island of Adak, and he and I started having a meeting, and I thought, this is no big deal. We listened to tapes of his old home group back in Florida, and I thought, wow, this ain't so hard. And I was able to stay sober. Then I hit the lower 48, and I went to a meeting in Seattle, and oh my God, those people were old. You know, hey, gray hair. Yeah. And the one guy was, it was really a dark, tunnely looking place, and they were selling these books. You know, I had the big book because my sponsor had given me one, and then I thought, well, maybe I better buy one of these, the 12 steps and 12 traditions. Obviously, this is how they're keeping this place going, and I'm going to help contribute by buying this book. And I kept it, and I read part of it. You know, I always like to go to the back to see, you know, where they say women have problems too in the big book. Yeah, there's got to be some sex in there. Let's look at that. No, then, that wasn't it. So I didn't read too much of that. And I got to San Diego. I was in the Navy and I got transferred. And I got to San Diego, and when I got there, I went to another meeting. It was another bunch of old guys, you know, because they're the only ones off during the day. And that's when I went. You know, everybody else was working. And one guy I got up and talked about, he had money in his pocket now, and he wasn't in the state asylum anymore, and he pulled out a 20 to show everybody. You know, and I thought, my God, you know, I almost made a big mistake. I just missed a bullet here. I went to a bar and had me a beer and said, boy, am I glad I didn't get involved in that bunch of people. You know, obviously they got a problem. 5 years later, I had gone through a number of going ins and outs. I had got into a number of big problems. And the last one I was on, I needed to get sober long enough to get myself out of this one, if you know what I mean. Because I was always getting myself out of this one. And I knew if I went to Alcoholics Anonymous for a little while, at least I'd say, have sense enough not to make an ass of myself in front of the court martial, that I wouldn't come in there drunk probably. And I had a little old guy, and you all got gray hair. Everybody heard the Eskimo story, so I won't tell you again. But my little Eskimo came along on a motorcycle. We had stopped on Fifth Street and Market. You know where that is in San Diego. And we were going to go out because somebody told me, you know, you need to get involved. You need to get out there and start doing some service work. So I volunteered to go speak at Descanso, which is a drunk camp where they put you if you get drunk driving. And halfway out there, they asked me, well, how long have you been sober? And I said, about 3 days now. My God, you could have heard a pin drop because, you know. I said, well, you're not supposed to bring you in unless you got a year. But those days they didn't. He said, just keep your mouth shut. Maybe nobody will know the difference. And we picked up this old guy, you know, I'm looking at him. I'm like, well, maybe I can help him. You know, he's got Salvation Army pair of pants on, some scuffed shoes, and an old sports jacket he got out of a dumpster someplace. He looks like he could use some help. And they asked him, how long have you been sober? He says, 26 years now. I said, oh my God, it sure ain't working for him. Look at him. And his name was Gil Hull. And by the way, he passed away. He had 55 years. And he did become my sponsor. And he says, I'll tell you what, where are you at? He says, oh, I like sailors. He says, my brother was in the Navy. I like sailors. I'll come out and pick you up. He didn't ask me if I wanted to go. He just, I'll come out and pick you up. I said, well, all right. So he said to be out there at the end of the pier at a certain time, call the guard and let him make sure he could get in, and he did, and I'm waiting, I'm looking, he's about 10 minutes late. 5 minutes late, I thought, oh good, 5 more minutes, I don't have to deal with this guy. Pretty soon I say, you know, I'm looking for a car, here I hear this putt, 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 and here's this little motorcycle, I'm looking for a car. He drives up, he's got a helmet on, he's got another helmet in the back, he says, hop on, he's got a little 205 Honda. And what he did is he taught me immediately. We go out on Highway 8 in San Diego. Anybody know what that's like? It's like crazy, right? And he loved to talk to me. And he never wanted to talk to me without looking at me. And we're going on the freeway, and we're driving like this, and he's looking at me, and he's talking. I said, hey, look out, you're going to kill us. Oh, don't worry about it. Higher power take care of it. God, he taught me how to pray immediately. I said, you know what? You get me off this motorcycle, God, I swear I'll never drink again. Just get me off of here safe and sound. He did become my sponsor. And through him, I was able to work the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. You see, that's the only problem that I had prior to that, is I came to meetings. I used to debate the big book. And the 12 and 12 I liked to discuss. I'd go to 12 and 12 discussion groups, right? I said, because they want my opinion. And so I would discuss the 12 and 12. But I never did anything. I never worked any of those steps. But I had opinions on all of them. And when he finally told me what he did, and he says, you know, if you do this, you'll never have to drink again. And to be honest with you folks, I really finally never wanted to drink again for the first time in my life. And that went on to be the years that I have today. I've traveled over. I've been in meetings in lots of different countries. I retired successfully from the Navy. They didn't court-martial me. I didn't lose anything. I saved the marriage. My wife and I have been married 56 years. I just turned 79 last year. So I'm still up and able to walk around, and I'm so happy to be able to be here, because this meeting, this convention, is what really brought me to move to Hawaii from Washington State by coming here. And I'm sorry to say I haven't been back for 4 years, but here I am. My sweetheart is still in the Big Island, and she gives her regards to all of you that know her. And thank you very much for allowing me to share.
That's all the time we have for this beautiful meeting. And thank you, everybody, for sharing. And may God, as you understand him, continue to bless you one day at a time for the rest of your life. And we'll close with Our Father.